Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault. The following presentation takes place at the 2011 Forum for Primary Prevention Advocates called Ending Violence Against Women and Teen Dating Violence. Keynote speaker Donna Garski, Executive Director of Transforming Communities, Technical Assistance, Training, and Resource Center, talks about how organizations can keep their vision in moving towards social change.
Back in 1985, when I started working on the violence against women agenda. Now, back in those years, we were so energetic, so focused on educating and reaching and engaging, whether men, youth, or in our communities, that quite frankly, we missed the key ingredient or an essential ingredient in this evolutionary process of change, transforming our own internal communities. The extent to which we are transformed is the extent to which we have power. Now, over the years, I've strived for a simpler way to understand organizations as these vehicles for social change and to find simpler ways to keep it alive and moving forward. And clearly, I am still on a learning curve with all of this, like most of us. I do have some thoughts to share, somewhat of a story, but not as beautiful as the narratives we've heard today. But nevertheless, a story that might be able to start out or could with Once Upon a Time. But in truth, it was a cold, dark, rainy night when I first showed up at the volunteer training program at Marin Abused Women's Services so many years ago, the organization now known as Center for Domestic Peace. And I've forgotten the names and the training content, but I have not forgotten the feeling that I had then that I still have now. And loosely translated, it sounds something like this: holy blank. We're on to something really big here, and I want to be a part of the ride. And what a ride it has been. A ride not like many others' experiences here in this room today. The kind of a ride where you think you have a hold on it, and somewhere along the way you discover it has a hold on you. Now, all of us here today are part of a movement for change that was willed into existence community by community over four decades or almost four decades ago. The burst of passion and activism that lit the fuse of our movement founders carried with it the power of the seven generations before. So is the belief of many First Nation people. A force so powerful, an analysis so clear, the number so large, that the sound barrier was finally broken. Violence against women exists, and it must end now and forever. And this amazing force for good has built on its strengths over time here in the United States alone, with over 5,000 programs addressing sexual assault and domestic violence alone. This is an amazing vehicle of social change. Now, this movement started by disrupting and displacing the prevailing wisdom and attitudes of the time, and you know and remember some of these ideas, like what happens in a man's home is his own business. She asked for it. It's her fault. And the list goes on. Slowly, our movement has shifted the paradigm beyond social change to social transformation. And while social change can be derailed, just look at what's happening around women's reproductive rights. Transformation cannot. Like the butterfly that cannot return to its original form. Now think about this for a moment, that just maybe the mess around us these days, whether it's the breakdown of the social systems, the economy, the environment, possibly is macro level change unfolding in front of us at this very moment that possibly, maybe, could be something positive. Feminist theoretician Gerda Lerner believes so, and in her statement says, "The system of patriarchy is a historical construct. It has a beginning and it will have an end. It seems nearly half run its course. It no longer serves the needs of men and women, and an inextricable link to militarism, hierarchy, and racism threatens the very existence of life on Earth. our now global movement on violence against women is more powerful, deep, and convincing than any one of us alone, as individuals, organizations, and communities. And that is the good news, that we cannot stop the purpose of this movement to generate change, to disrupt and displace patriarchy. It's what we're here to do. Close down the factories that continue to mass produce the rapists, the batterers, and oppress people with less power. Yes, the genie is out of the bottle, and it's not going back in. And we are not going back to a place where we were before without a voice, or without clarity, without our activism. Or are we? Certainly, the story would be missing a major plot line if we didn't talk about the challenge of how hard it is to create and now maintain these organizations we have as vehicles for our movement to do our work. Now, over time, the movement has continued to fulfill its mission, bending and turning and evolving as it has been corralled into the structures of nonprofit. And from our lived experience working in organizations, we know that keeping the vision alive for social transformation can be hard, it can be challenging, it can be frustrating. It requires buckets of perseverance, commitment, and flexibility. It can keep us up at night. It can be the reason sometimes we work too hard or we lose faith when other people drop out or fail to get it. And because of these challenges and many, many more, some of our organizations have lost their way, or they've taken alternative paths convinced that they are parallel to the original pathway, when maybe, just maybe, they're lost between the forest and the trees. Enter major financial crisis. Like the one we've been living with for the last several years, we find ourselves facing more pressure to excel at articulating the up-to-the-moment ideas about our business model, data outcomes, strategic plans, all to help us find more money. Add to that the forces working against us in the work we do, like those who believe nonprofits should be limited in their role as advocates. And they do that advancement of that idea by adding more rules and regulations as a way to constrain and co-opt us as 501c3 corporations. How about those who oppose our agenda, our analysis, and are out to disrupt and to derail the progress we've made? Yes, backlash is alive right here now in California and elsewhere around the country. Not the ride I signed up for, many have concluded. Today, there are fewer organizations that have the stomachs, metaphorically speaking, to weather the ride. Better to be stable and less chaotic in such turbulent times. Others might feel despair or even heartbroken because to some, it seems like maybe our movement is dying. And I know that I too have had my moments along the way, wondering and fearing, is this true? But when that happens, I remember a short poem I found many years ago that has forever been etched in my mind. Breathing deep within the cave, shrouded by mist, barely breathing, the dream lives. This reminder has been a source of inspiration to me over the years. It has brought me back to a core awareness, the original DNA of this movement, a force of good to transform the acceptance of violence against women to a world of equality and justice for all, still exists, period. That's the great thing about having your own story. You can claim what you want to be true. And if you think of our organizations as living systems, then the DNA of this radical work, this far-reaching vision, this spirit that will not rest until this problem no longer exists, is alive in our organizations. Our organizations started by going against the current, upstream in the truest sense, with little more than work, of little more than passion and purpose. Imagine the wisdom built into the intelligence of over 5,000 of our organizations across this country. It's an awesome, awesome source of power and knowledge to draw from when we start to falter, if we do, and equally important to guide us forward, because we are going forward. And yet, with this rich and vibrant history of social transformation, what is true is that due to our own faltering along the way, and or external forces coming at us to limit us as 501c3s or for other reasons, many organizations like ours have ended up in a box without even knowing it. Like the exercise many of us do in our trainings, the man and boys in a box, the women and the girls in a box, this is the nonprofits in a box. We are expected to behave a certain way, be nice, don't rock the boat, don't be controversial, etc. Well, what happens when we step outside that box? Well, not unlike the punishment or oppression that happens when we step outside gender role expectations, stepping outside the nonprofit box does not come without risks. You know what I'm talking about, like the risk of loss of funding, or being marginalized in our communities, or threatened with legal action, or denied access. And because we are defined as a corporation that is not to make profit, and by the way, it's something that most of us tend to succeed at, is not having enough money to fully fund our work, a threat to our funding is a big threat. It's kind of amazing, actually, that anyone would even think of doing social transformation work within the framework of a 501c3 corporation, and many don't. But that's a story for another time. It's a time, however, in this story to turn it around, and collectively we are and we can. And it starts with understanding who we are and our true purpose as violence against women organizations. Thankfully, many organizations today, over time, have continued to resist being in the box to the extent possible, and a growing number of us in this movement and elsewhere were working consciously on stepping out of this again to the extent we can. We are taking our power and we are advancing new understandings of who we are. It starts small and it starts big. Take, for example, the simple aspect of turning the language around used to describe us as organizations or corporations not to make profit, a particularly suspicious term coming out of capitalism. Such an odd term, defining us by the absence of what we do. In truth, we need to see ourselves and believe ourselves to be these 501c3 social benefit corporations. And because we live at the level of our language, a shift in language is a shift in consciousness. Because we know small shifts in time equal lasting change over time. I learned that from Oprah. There are a growing number of us going back to our roots as a movement, and then even further back to better understand the original purpose of organizations that started way back in the 1700s, when organizations were first known as associations. Now, by applying the large angle lens to the camera, we can see a bigger picture, a picture of a rich legacy of over 200 years of social benefit organizations working on social change brought about through civic engagement, advocacy, community action, and grassroots mobilizing. Many of us might think that this is the core of our prevention work, and it is. More interestingly, however, is to see it as the core of our entire organizations. The kind of organizations that really came into existence to do, which is to create change. Now, finding strength in our history can be a deep source of inspiration to help keep us clear and steady as we continue to learn and grow and evolve. What I know to be true is actually what I have learned from many others doing this work in social movements over time much longer than I have. And it's this: knowing who we are and knowing our true purpose as organization remains the centering force of social transformation work. How we see ourselves determines what we value, what we nurture, what we inflame, and what we renew. It determines the amount of risk we take or don't. And it guides us and grounds us as organizations to evolve and to adapt and change over time, like a North Star that brings us home and keeps us on the right path. Just think of it. Over 5,000 organizations in this country carrying this amazing social transformation DNA. And while it may be possibly temporarily forgotten or seemingly barely breathing, it cannot be destroyed. It can be renewed, reconnected, revved up, modernized, and radicalized at any time. It's that vision thing again. Not what we think of when we talk about vision and planning over the next 5 years, but our perceptual experience of first seeing who we are right now. And if it isn't something we like, that doesn't support our true purpose, we change it. We transform our internal community, and we develop our safety plan for mitigating risks living outside the box, just like what we do in transforming gender role oppression. And we do it together. So when I think about what this means in a practice sort of way, there are a couple things that come to mind. One is to continue to nurture our collective memory and understanding about the history of our movement and other social movements that we can learn from. Two is to preserve this wisdom everywhere we can think of within our organizations. Three is to embrace social transformation as the core work that we do in prevention, but also at the core purpose of our organizations, and let it lead us to what needs to happen next. And finally, prepare for the turbulence as we continue to work and be outside of the nonprofit box, and prepare for more opportunities and revitalization as we allow our passion and our purpose to live more boldly. My story for today is almost finished, but not before I invite you into the narrative. See yourself in here with me. When you go back home tomorrow, I want to invite you to focus your mind on social transformation even more so. I want you to think of yourself as an organizational archaeologist going on a dig, looking for all the places and the ways where social transformation, purpose, and passion, DNA, lives in your organization. Is it mainly alive in the part of the organization that does prevention work? Or is it at the center point because it is how the organization sees itself from beginning to end? Can you find it in your training programs that you offer volunteers, the classes you provide at the shelter, the analysis you teach to men and boys? Is it in your value statement, your job descriptions, your personnel policies? Is it represented in the diversity of your staff? Is it in the language you use to refer to the individuals who use your services? Are they members, participants, allies, or clients? Is it alive at all levels of the organization, including the board? Is your board membership, is it required that individuals who come to power on the board align themselves, believe in this movement? And what is on the table for us around our strategic planning? Are we seeking social innovation strategies to help protect against backlash or mitigate risk-taking and creating safety as we more freely live outside the box to the extent that we are able to? Is it visible in how our organizations engage in communities and how power is shared with new members, like our priority focus on engaging youth? Is it visible the way that your organization is committed to thoughtfully pass on to the next generation the finely tuned, highly functional, well-oiled organizational vehicle of social change with four fully inflated tires. And this conference has been an inspiration for me to think deeper about how to use strategic planning to help fulfill and facilitate these conversations. I think this is a part of, at least, how we keep the vision for social transformation in our organizations alive. We see that it's there, maybe buried deep within and barely breathing. We take every chance we have to make it visible elsewhere, and we nurture and infuse our strategies and our ongoing learning in going forward, because there is not one single answer to how to keep our vision for social transformation alive, not one. Rather, there are many. And in the end, building capacity to be stable will not achieve the end results that we want. Building capacity to adapt without losing the clarity of our purpose will. And as long as our organizations exist, its true purpose will naturally want to keep doing what it does and what it was given life to do, to end violence against women now and forever, if we only let it. Because at the end of the day, we all want that happy, satisfying ending to our story. For me, it will be walking away from the organizations and this movement that I've been involved with for many years, knowing, feeling confident that this vision thing is solid, no matter what the future brings, and being able to say, damn, that was a hell of a ride. In closing, I share with you a reflection from Mother Nature. The elements of nature understand purpose. There's no getting around the clarity and the power of nature.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.